1. Remember John referred to himself as the one that Jesus loved the most. So John had a way to present the gospel. His take on the gospel. Remember, you know, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the take of the gospel, or the time walk with Jesus. So there were the different 4 takes on that. So John had a special take because he referred to himself as the one that Jesus loved the most. The audacity of him to say something like that, right, amongst other disciples, but yet he still said it. And so because he said it, he believed that. So because he believed that Jesus loved him that much, he had a different take on things. John chapter 6 is such a powerful chapter. Chapter 5, all is powerful. But chapter 5 and chapter 6, there's so much in there about the word of God and what it's about. But let's start off John chapter 1. We read this before. In John chapter 1, verse 14, you read. You ready to read? John chapter 1, verse 14. Are y'all ready? I'll wait. Ready to read. The glory is read again, ready to read. So who are we talking about right here? Who are we talking about right here? Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. So now the word, we're talking about living by the book, living by the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, I said this a couple weeks ago. I might have said it again last week. I'll probably say it every week. Find Jesus, you find the revelation, all right? When you're in the word, you're looking for Jesus. If you don't find Jesus in there, which he's in everywhere, but if you don't find him, somewhere you're missing it. Somewhere you're not lined up. Find Jesus, you find the revelation. Are y'all with me? And I was talking last week, powerful statement, and this thing, I'm still eating on it, but about studying from a non-selfish point of view. Y'all remember that? Because you remember, if I meditate from a selfish perspective, I'm going to get a selfish revelation, which in turn will probably be me getting off a little bit. Will probably be derailing me from the way that I'm supposed to be. You get it? Because ain't no self in love. Everybody think the opposite of love is hate. No, opposite of love is self. You just you. Ain't no love in there. For God so loved that he gave. Not only did he give, but he gave his only. He gave of himself. And so the same principle that God saved you by is the same principle that you walk by in everything that you do. So you walk by it with a giving mentality. In all instances, you find out, where's the giving? How can I give here? You get what I'm saying? You're looking for the opportunity. What is this telling me to give? There's people all over the church right now that went to schools and Bible scholars and got degrees and all kind of stuff that don't know that you should be looking at the word of God from a giving perspective. So because they're studying because they think it's all about me, they're missing the whole point. Even Jesus, there's scriptures and I ain't got time to, even Jesus, they said he humbled himself and became a servant. Even Jesus, he's the Lord of Lords. He's the one who's at every knee, and the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Right there. But before then, he had to bow. Before then, he had to humble himself. And the Bible makes a statement, and I think it was trying to send it home, because he made a statement. He said he was obedient, right? But that's cool, because we all feel like we obedient. But then it goes a little further. He said he was obedient even unto. That's a little different now. Can I tell you to die? That's a different ball game now. Can I tell you? No, all right, you're going so, all right. Put it on, okay. Bravo. Was it your last? Living by the book. Remember when, let's go find, where did Jesus sit in the church? Oh yeah, when he came to serve, he's sitting by the treasury. He ain't sitting by the worship team. Oh no, he ain't sitting by the priest that was there that night. You know, he's the clergy. He said, no, he didn't sit up there. Jesus sat by the treasury with the buckets where they're putting in the money, trying to see what they're casting in. He said, you watch them cast into their abundance. But then this woman come in with her 2 mites. And he said, this woman then gave She done more than all y'all. Why? Because she gave her last. She gave it all up. She gave it all up. She gave it all up. Are y'all getting that? So now you take a little step. You say, he's obedient. It's cool. We cool with obedience, but not obedient to die. So I'm going to tell you, go die. Which is what I'm telling you right now concerning this. When you're posting the word, it ain't about you. When we get that you're not the end goal. You know that, right? Right. Hold on. Do y'all know that? Yeah. You know, you're not the end goal of it all. All right. I understand that he died for your sins. Right? I get it. But it don't stop there. Because it said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, the works that I do shall you do also in greater ways because I go unto the Father. It is about somebody else. I'll be trying to beat it through people's heads, especially ministers. It is about somebody else. It is not about self. Say that.
It is not about self.
Say it again. It is not about me.
It is not about me.
Come on, say it again.
It
ain't about you. So when you start reading this word, remember that it ain't about you, and then he'll do something about you.
Yes.
Do y'all understand that statement?
Yes.
There'll be more, there'll be greater works.
Yes.
When you give a greater portion of yourself,
right.
What measure you meet is measured unto you. So now when I'm approaching this word, I'm trying to give it up.
Yes.
I ain't trying to see what you're trying to send me. Right. It is already understood. Listen to me. It is all, understand something about God. Can I teach you something about God? It is all, I love this message that he's preaching right now about appropriating your faith to what's already been done. You remember it is finished?
Yeah.
Right? You remember it is finished? You don't have to worry about God part. Listen to me. You don't even, listen, you got to get through your head because it's conditioning, because you got to change your mind. Everybody say, change my mind. So when you're studying the word, you're living by the book, you're changing your mind. You're renewing. Your mind. I mean, your mind once was new one time, but we done got some other junk in there, so now we need to read. All right, watch this. You don't have to worry about God's part. How often do we do, though? We concerned about what the harvest going to be. The harvest is inside the seed. Sow the seed. You can't. He says this. He says, you don't even know how the bones grow in the womb. I don't want to get graphic right now, so I won't. But the process of how all us got here is I can't understand it. I'm talking about the physical process, with your mom and your daddy got together. That process doesn't make sense for how all of that came together to start forming bones and a brain and a mind. Now we out here with fingers and stuff, and we out here living and forget the miracle. We out here living and forget how we got here. It don't make sense. I watched a movie. It's a crazy movie. I don't suggest you go watch it. You know, it wasn't a bad movie, but just it's a crazy movie. But it's a movie called Evolution. And it started talking about how things started evolving. I know we're not talking about Darwin evolution, but how things just started growing into something else from something that wasn't that already.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how right now we walking around and living and have conscious thought. And have brains, and then we can even make more thoughts and make more conscious thought. How did that happen? You don't know how it happened. You don't know how you got here. You don't know how you woke up this morning. I said last night, you thought it was the alarm, huh? Yeah, you don't know how he make your ears work. Can you tell me how he did it? I was talking to Apostle Dane. I was saying the body is an amazing thing. If we were just treated right. God did some amazing stuff. So we don't have to worry about his part. You don't have to worry about how much he loves you. We already know he's not just love us, he so loves us. That's a difference. We already know that he's right there. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness. Seek my kingdom and all these things will be added. So we ain't really got to worry about all them things. All we got to do is. He said, you draw nigh to me now. So we ain't got to worry about what he going to do. You worried about the wrong part. So now when you're reading the scripture and when you're studying the scripture, you don't have to worry about if he's going to give you a revelation. Just go in giving. He's going to do his part.
Yes.
So now if we go in, and I'm talking about Jesus, but if we go in with a selfish mentality and a selfish understanding and a selfish flow, then we could be cutting off what God is really trying to get to us. And so we'll have a measure of revelation, but we'll never reach everything that he's planned. We'll give a little bit and we'll have a measure, but we'll never get over there to get everything. See, Jesus is the example. Say it. Come on, say it again. Say, Jesus is the example. I taught my other class, and I got a class called Church on User. I think y'all going to take it next year. But Jesus walked in the fivefold ministry. He walked in all of them. He walked in every single one of them. Today, I was living by the book. Everybody say living by the book. Yes. I mean, you got to use your imagination. Today, I was living by the book, and I realized that Jesus was a pastor for a minute. Was Jesus Christian Center? Jesus ain't had no church. No. That's not what I'm saying. You know, one place he went, he was doing works, and they were trying to compel him to stay. Like, compel him. Like, they were trying to hold him in the city. Jesus, be our pastor. They say Jesus made it through the crowd. They didn't even see him go through the crowd. Jesus said, I got 3 years. I ain't got time to stay here and do this. But you said he wanted to be the pastor because they saw the feeding the 5,000. That's a pastor's heart. Evangelist gone, drop the message off and gone. He gone about his business. The apostle don't care what's going on down here. He heaven and earth. The prophet seeing something somewhere else. Huh? The teacher going to come in and teach you and try to tell you why you wrong for not bringing bread out here into the wilderness. That's the teacher going to tell you. See, you should have packed your bread up. That's what the teacher going to do. Let me teach you how not let this happen to you anymore. Next time when you're going on a walk and you're listening to somebody minister, make sure you pack a basket. But we ain't got no basket right now. So now the pastor's heart says, I'm concerned for the people. And I want the people to eat. I'm just a side journey, but we're living by the book. Are we living by the book? Yeah. Side journey. So the pastor says, I'm concerned about the people. So, God, I'm about to go somewhere else. But I'm going to go there real quick because we need to go there. The pastor says, I'm concerned about the people, right? So now, but the pastor is just concerned about the people. Yep. And he's got the heart to go ahead and do it for the people. But he don't really have the miracle right now. He don't have the sign and the wonder. He don't have it. So now something else got to kick in. Another gift got to kick in. Another gift got to kick in to empower the pastor to do what he's made to do. Another gift got to kick in that's a little higher than him to empower him to be a good pastor. A good shepherd. That's what a pastor is, a shepherd. You go out, you're taking care of the sheep. That means you got to make sure the sheep are eating. You got to make sure they don't get attacked. You can protect them. You make sure they're going in the right place. Why? Because you are the shepherd. They call Jesus the good shepherd. Yes. Y'all get it? That's pastoral. You get it? But now I need to turn on my apostle hat to go from heaven to earth because we need some supernatural power going on down here. We need to make something out of nothing. Well, last time I heard something made out of nothing came from heaven. In the beginning, let there be, all right, something out of nothing. You get it? Are y'all with me? So now, side journey, don't none of y'all leave this school and leave your connection. God dog it. I see people do it all the time. When God puts you in a place, a lot of times your calling can be an opportunity that's put before you. A lot of times he's not going to call it out what it is to you. A lot of times he's going to open up a door and open up a position and drop you in and see how you handle it and see if you can stay connected. Thank God for apostle. And he's going to see if you can stay connected. He's going to see if you can do it. And then out of that, you get your calling. All right, we're going to live by the book. We're still living by the book, but you got to follow the connection. So now the apostolic got to come and make something supernatural happen to do the passing out, which is what the pastor want to do to take care of everybody. But if ain't no apostolic anointing, then ain't no passing out. No matter how bad the pastor wants everybody to be taken care of, they won't be taken care of unless there are higher anointing to bring the supernatural in there. Connection. Everybody say connection. Maybe I'm supposed to talk about this tonight. Say connection. So your connection, it's still connected with Jesus, I get it. But your connection is important because your gift will be empowered by your connection. There is no such thing as a successful renegade gift.
That's right.
It don't exist. Even in Ephesians 4, I'm talking about every joint supply and every joint is fitly, how it's fitly joined together and the effectual working of every part. It talks about that. It's talking about connection. Everybody say connection.
Connection.
Come on, everybody say connection.
Connection.
So what is supposed to happen is when you are connected properly to government. Now, we still talking about Jesus, right? The Bible says in Isaiah 9 and 6 that it says the government shall be upon his shoulders. Then the next chapter says, of the increase of his government, of the increase of the government of peace, there shall be no end. Jesus had the government. We're still talking about Jesus now. We're still talking about the bread. We're still talking about living by. So when you're connected in government and you're connected properly, then everything that the government has to offer belongs to you. You don't have to be the president, but you got presidential backup. You got presidential instructions because you connected to the president. Right now, I told him just a little while ago, it was funny, he was making jokes, and we were standing in the room, and I came up a little early, and one of the guys with me said, you know, you can start your class right now if you want to. All you got to do is go walk in there and tell them you're ready to start. And I said, you know what, I probably could do that. I could have walked in early and said, go ahead, stop your message. Stop your message, give me the mic. He'd have done it. Not because of me, but because I'm connected to the apostle. And I'm connected to the apostle, and he's like, I'm real connected to the apostle, right? So, you know, I got that last name. So now I walk in, you see what I'm saying? Because of connection. Everybody say connection.
Connection.
Come on, say it again, connection.
Connection.
Come on, say it again, connection.
Connection.
So now I don't really have to be apostle. I just need to be connected to an apostle, and I can walk apostolically. I say this example all the time. There's about 20 of us in here right now. You stick my finger in the socket and grab all your hands. We all getting shocked. Everybody going to get the power. Ain't that the truth?
Yep.
Everybody get if we hold on and we stay connected, everybody getting the power. Right? On the positive side, if I hold on and stay connected, everybody get the power. You don't have to be that, though. See, here's what people want. People are, I'm talking ministry school, praise the Lord. We are so excited about the position that we miss out on the power.
Yes. Yes.
And we miss out on the power because we try to skip the process. Mm-hmm. Go through the process. Living by the book. See, the reason that you just don't get revelation just falling out the sky, the reason I got to study to show myself approved, the reason I got to meditate day and night, is because the process makes me understand the validity of the power. The process makes me understand how potent the power is. The process makes me understand what I got.
Amen.
And it makes me appreciate it. If you don't have to do nothing for it, you don't appreciate it. You just throw it all over the place. You'll be shooting revelation all over the place. Don't even care who you give it to if you just got it without going through the process. So this is why we got to study it. That's why. He already ready to give you revelation. I'm jumping on. He already ready to give you revelation. But you got to study because you got to know what to do. You got to be a good steward of the revelation. So back to Jesus. Now here we are, a selfless. He became obedient even unto. So that means that Jesus was totally and completely a not about what. Now y'all got to think about this. Everybody, living by the book, say it. Come on, everybody say living by the book. Come on, let's use our imagination real quick. Let's say living by the book. Come on, say it again. Now we're going to use our imagination in this class. Now watch this. Now you got to remember who Jesus is. Now I know when I say who Jesus is, y'all going to start saying he's my Lord, my Savior. He the one who died on the cross for me. And then my sin, he did so many miracles and different things like that. And we got these different, we put these categories that we put Jesus in. But let me break down Jesus. Jesus was a 30-something-year-old man in his prime. Hadn't gotten married yet, if that was going to be the problem. I don't know if that was going to be his lot or not, but he hadn't experienced that yet. So, quote unquote, he had some life to live. Everything he touched worked. 3-year ministry. Every time he told somebody to raise from the dead, they got up. Every time he laid hands on blind eyes, they opened. Every time he laid hands on a lame man, the lepers, they got clean. Every time he did it, the ministry was popping. The ministry, Jesus Christ Ministries International, was popping. It was the baddest ministry on the earth.
Amen.
And it just started popping. I mean, 3 years. Most people go years and years before ministry start popping. 3 years, and it just started popping. From jump, he going to work. He turned water into wine. First miracle. He wasn't even preaching. What I got to do with y'all? Go get them pictures. He doing miracles without even, I mean, it's popping. Ministry's popping. 30-something-year-old man, he in the middle of his prime. Ministry popping. God using me. You got to understand all that to understand how much the price was that he paid. You got to understand all that to understand how actually obedient Jesus was. It wasn't like he was just, wasn't nothing going on. Ain't nothing popping. So I'll give my life. Ain't nothing going on, so I'll be the one. Just take me. I ain't doing nothing right now. I ain't busy, so I'll go. No, it wasn't that. Everything was going on. Everything popping. You feeding five, you breaking bread. You done this a couple times. Everything you saying is working. Could you give it up? Now, y'all have been like, no, God, I think you're missing it, God. God, I think you're missing it. The ministry just started popping. Well, Jesus did the same thing. He went to the garden and he went and said, Lord, if you can. We live by the book. Can we live by the book a little bit? Lord, if you can, let this cup pass from me. So we don't want to talk. Lord, if you can, do this another way. I don't really know if I'm ready to go right now. I'm only 33. I just started it like a couple years ago. Can y'all imagine that? Can you imagine 3 years of ministry and Jesus said your ministry over? I just started. So Lord, if you can't, let this cup pass from me. And he's asking politely too. He didn't say, Lord, I'm not going. Well, that's how we be sometimes. He didn't say that. He said, Lord, if you can, come on, can we live by the book a little bit? Come on, Like, think about it. Lord, how would you approach God? You know you're supposed to go do something, but you're trying to get something else. Like, I know how I approach apostle. Like, he my daddy, okay? So y'all let me talk about him like my daddy. I know how I approach him. I don't go in there and start saying what I want to do and all that. I kind of be like, well, I be like, what? You know, I'm going to get out. What if we do it like, you start changing your voice. Can we do it like this? You approach a certain way, so I can imagine approaching God. You knew you was on assignment, and you knew they would come and kill you because you already told them. Remember you had to rebuke Peter? Remember you told them they're going to come get you? Right before Peter got such a deep revelation that thou art the Christ. 11 scriptures later, you ain't nothing but a devil, Peter. Remember? Get behind me, Satan. Remember that? He said, get behind me, Satan. He had told them already what's going to happen. So now I'm going to go and say, Lord, if you can, because he said he was sweating. I'm sweating right now. He said he's sweating. I don't need it. I'm glad I'm sweating right now. He said he's sweating like blood. He's sweating blood. That's some nerves, boy. You got to be nervous. So you start sweating. And he said, if you can, we live by the book. Are y'all with me? We live by the book now. Time out in the story. Now, if you start meditating like this, then you start seeing more in the scripture. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John pretty much tell the rest of the Bible. You can go from that perspective and then go any way from that direction. You can go from there where you're talking about Jesus and then go back further into the Old Testament and you'll start seeing it. You can take that and go all the way to Revelation, you'll start seeing it. Jesus brings clarity to the whole scripture. That's powerful. That's powerful. It might be deep enough to write down. Jesus brings clarity to the whole Bible. You look through Jesus and you see it all. You're like a magnifying glass. That the Lord be magnified. Right? You see it all. All right? So now here we are. It's a time in. We're back in the store. And so now he's walking. He said, Lord, he had been praying. So he consciously knew what he was going to ask because he had been praying. Right? We ain't talking about Jesus went in carnal. No, he wasn't carnal. He had been praying. Lord, if you can you let this cup pass? If you can we do this another way? But then he didn't even wait for no answer because he already knew the answer, so he just left. It's almost like it's saying, like my mom used to talk to me like that. My dad said, if I don't answer, that means no. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't sit there keep... You saw my facial expression? You saw, right? So I just go on back to the room. Then he come back twice. He said, Lord, if you can you let the same sentence? I'm sure the same tone too. It's probably a little lighter then. I'm back. I know, I understand. I don't miss it. Can we do this another way? Is there another way that we can get this done? Because if there's another way to get this done, then I can continue ministry. And then we can get it all together. No answer. Come on back out. He come back again. Three times. He said, Hey, it's me again, God. Is there any other way we can do this? Like, can we figure something out? I know you God. So I'm sure you can figure something out. We've been waiting on you. Jesus, we've been waiting on you for centuries. Nobody else's blood was good enough. All we have are shadows of you before now. You've got to be the one. You've got to do this. You've been born for such a time as this. You remember how you were born, right? No answer. So now it's time to go. Now I'm going to take it a little deeper. Can I go a little deeper? You're living by the book. Are you there? Are you in the garden right now? In your mind. Are you in the garden? It feels a little different, huh? You almost want to choke up a little bit sometimes. I understand. So now we're in the garden. We understand the emotional effect that's going on with Jesus right now. Because you remember now, he was a man. Y'all remember that, right? No, he was a man. Thank God that God did it that way so we had no excuses. For years coming up, I always looked at Jesus like a superhuman. He was Superman, so I didn't really have to aspire to be that because he's Superman. But then start talking about how he was hungry and he slept. Then it said no temptation common to man that he didn't have to deal with. He was talking about us. And so now this man who's been walking in all this power it's nevertheless than your will. Like what I'm going to do, it'll never be the less than what your will is. Nevertheless, not my will, but that will be done. So now it's time to go. So he done set it in his mind that it's time to go. Hallelujah. Jesus done got it set in his mind that it's time to go to the cross. So now they coming to get him. Are y'all there? Are y'all here with me? So now they coming to get him. We in the garden, we watching the story. Now they coming to get him. And so they come and say, where's the Christ? Where's Jesus Christ? I'm someone. Where's the Christ? He said, I am he. And when he said, I am he, all of them fell back. Uh-oh. That's another chance to say, I don't want to go. Y'all knew these people was coming to come and kill y'all. You. They coming to get you. They coming with their swords. They got it on. They might kill you, right? You don't know what's going on. They coming to kill you. And then you say, I'm the one you're looking for, and everybody fall out. Well, that's time to roll out. That's time to, come on, fellas. Peter, let's go. It's time to roll. That we could have, hold on, watch this. Ooh, humility, meekness. Nobody was meek. See, meekness is having the ability to do something but harnessing the power. Meekness, he was meek. The Bible talks about how meek he was. Now watch this. It's time to roll. We could have, us spiritual people, we could have took that as a sign that Jesus wanted to do it another way. Couldn't we have? What? I am he and everybody fell? All right, that must be you, Lord. But the mission bigger than the power. Woo! Yeah. I think they fell down a couple times. The power was all over the place. Peter jumped off. That's another time to run. Peter jumped off. Wow! Hit that ear. That ear gone. It's time to roll. Jesus said, no. The power's still kicking. Miracles still happening in the midst of the time that you got to go get killed. Put that ear back on. So now do you understand then after this, now we got to go, and I'm just paraphrasing because I don't have time to go through the whole story, and if I really go through the whole story, we're going to get the snotting and crying up in here and feel like it's Easter Sunday, right? Because now he's going down the road, it's a powerful, he's going down the road, And now they're going to beat him all night. I read they said they beat him unconscious, but they didn't want to kill him. So they beat him enough to make him pass out, but then let him stay alive for a little while and give him a little water so he can get back up because they can beat him again. I'm talking about beat him like this. And they beat him with the whip. The whip ain't like the whips y'all be seeing. We got the whips had the big jagged nails and charred glass and all kinds of different things in there. And they just scrape cross and pull the skin. All that, he bleeding out. But they're not letting him bleed out enough because they don't want him to die, because they want him to die on the cross. They tortured him. Now, we know he had the power because he could have called angels to come get him anytime. The Bible talks about that. But he didn't call them. That's some kind of self-sacrifice. That's some kind of obedience. Then they beat him all night and they whoop him. Then they humiliate him. Make him carry his own cross up. And put a crown of thorns in and make him carry his own cross up. And they're making fun of him. The way those situations used to go, it should be like a walk of shame. The people on the side spitting on you. And yelling at, because normally you'd be a prisoner. Normally you'd be somebody that deserved that type of treatment. It should have been us. Get it? Yep. Normally you'd be somebody that's despicable, that don't deserve to live. And so they're spitting on him, they're talking about him. And then it's even more demeaning because you know you're powerful. Like you know you're powerful enough to fix all the wounds on your body right quick. Right? And then come up and then call the angels to wipe out everybody. But yet you're obedient even unto death. Then that's self-sacrifice. That's really not thinking about yourself. You know, the key to whatever it is you believe in God for, your increase, your health, your family members, your reaching whatever it is, your promotion, all that stuff, and the things that we put, the key to all that is selflessness. The key to all that is love. You know, it says, what's the great commandment, Jesus? Love the Lord your God with all your might, everything you got. Give it all up. And it says, second like unto love your neighbor as you love yourself. None of that is about you. That's the key to it all. And they say, on this hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hang on that. And so now he's getting beat. He's going to take. Now you got to go to the cross. And then you got to sit up there in between two thieves. Then they're making fun of him, talking about King of the Jews. They put a sign of the King of the Jews and making fun of him. He know he can come down off. And they tell him, come on, you the king. Come on, you said you the Messiah. Come on, come down off of there. I'd have came down. Out of, what you said? What you saying now? But that's just me. I mean, that's you too. You know you came out. We done came out. And what y'all talking about now? My hand's free now. Right? Right? We done came down. We done came down floating. But he stay up there. And he take these nails about that long. They you know, stakes. Bow. Through the, and break his, because they had to break his ankles just to go through them. Pow! They do all these different things. Anytime he could have changed his mind. Are y'all understanding me? At any given minute, it wasn't a, Jesus didn't die on the cross like, I'm going to die for y'all sins, and then they hit him in the neck, and he didn't suffer. Well, he ain't had no pain. No, he went through it. He went through every bit of pain. They stabbed him in his side. The water started coming out. You know what kind of stab that is? And now you bleeding the whole time and still got to carry the cross up. You bleeding the whole time. And why are you on the cross in between these two thieves and you know you ain't done nothing to nobody? Everything your whole life has been about helping people. Since the beginning you started your ministry, you was helping people. Everything has been about helping people. You know it shouldn't have been you up there. And you stretched out and then the guy started talking, you must be the Christ. And he said, you know, save me. He started talking, he up there getting crucified. You're supposed to be mad right now. That's right. You're supposed to be upset. You're supposed to be upset with the people that have beat you, the people that whoop, and you're supposed to be mad with God right now because he let that happen to you. How many times you said, why God? And you wasn't on the cross. Right? And even in the midst of all this, he's still saving people. He said, "Today I'm gonna see you in paradise." So he telling the man, he don't know what he did. He just know he up on the cross, and it's probably something that he wasn't supposed to do. But that didn't matter. He didn't say, "Well, what did you do, son?" No, he didn't ask all that. "Today, your sin's gonna be forgiven." To the very end, he was still doing miracles. Then he said, why have you, because I'll tell you how he felt. He asked God, "Why have you forsaken me?" Before he gave up the ghost. And there we go. Dun, dun, dun. Now that's that part. Now all of, everything started breaking loose and the ground started shaking. Everything started, and they started lamenting now. Now I can imagine the disciples cutting up because they done took our leader. We don't know what to do. Well, you knew when he came back, they all huddled up in the house trying to figure out what they going to do. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that part? Come on, y'all go do some studying of it. Y'all see the story. If you see the story, you'll get life. They huddled up in the house, don't know what to do. Jesus gonna walk through the wall on them. We go to Jesus just brought the disciples with him because he wanted them to be with him. He didn't pick the disciples because they were so deep or they were super spiritual, because they couldn't have been that spiritual. Because Peter was very carnal at a lot of times, wasn't he? Wasn't it? But he picked them because he wanted them to be with him. The scripture says that. They say Jesus in their 30s. They say a lot of the people that were with Jesus in their late teens or in their 20s. Like they say that was Jesus' friends. That was his inner circle. So now your inner circle. He told Peter, "You're gonna deny me 3 times. You gonna deny me 3 times for the cock crow. You gonna deny me 3 times. It's your homeboy. That's your friend. He's been in ministry with you all these years. He started off ministry with you. And then on his walk of shame, then over here, they start saying, look, that's Peter. That's one of them that was with him. Peter got the cussing. They said, Peter's like, I don't know. 3 times. Just like Jesus said, how'd it make you feel? But Jesus went through it, boy. Look, y'all don't understand. Jesus went through, listen, there ain't nothing, you talking about you be depressed. I don't care about your depression. Please get unpressed. How about you depressed? Your feelings hurt. You're not feeling good. All these different things that we complain about, it ain't got nothing. Jesus went through it. Wow. Jesus went through all that in the night. Wow. You remember the price that was paid for you. Yeah. Then you got to go through all this. Then you got to go to hell. For 3 days. And the fact that his last statement was, "Why thou hast forsaken me," I think Jesus might have been a little nervous if he was going to get up or not. I knew you said you was going to do it, but that got to be a task to take. They got to be a task to wear. Government on your shoulders, though. But then we, the resurrection, we get excited. We don't go through that story too long. We go to the resurrection. And he come back and get Peter together. He said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Yeah, then he asked him again, "Peter, you love me more than..." Peter got aggravated because he said, "Well, I just answered you." Peter still was hot-headed. Still was hot-headed old Peter. That's funny, boy. Peter still was hot. I just answered, "You know I love you." He said, "Peter, you love me more than..." "Yes, Lord, I love you more than them." He asked him again. I would be aggravated too. "Peter, you love me more than them?" Yeah. I just said, "Yeah, I love you more than them." "Peter, do you love me more than all them?" "Yeah, I love you more than all them." I received, "Yeah, I love you more than all them." "Yeah, I love you more than all them." He did that 3 for 3. It was a symbol of the fact that grace has kicked in. It was a symbol of the fact that I don't care what you did, you still my dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what you do, you still my homie. You know what? I don't care what you did, I still love you. It don't even matter. I did that. I did the 3 for you to understand that I didn't care. See, see, this powerful. I'm going somewhere. See, when you confess, that's for you, not for him. When you're repenting and you're confessing, that's not for him, that's for you. That's for you to realize the love. And so... all of that being said, and we done went through the whole story, all that being said, and we see that he had a lot of chances to quit. He had a lot of chances to think about himself. He had a lot of chances to do what was good for Jesus. And yet he was obedient. and selfless, even in the dead. Why the Bible says, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, right? Then, and he started talking about even, he said it again, like even unto death. Like, in other words, I'm not just talking that noise. Like, I'll die like he did. Like, it's a serious thing. I'm willing to give it up. Well, here we are in class talking about studying. Nobody asked you to put no nails through your hands. Jesus, did he ever ask you to do it? No, we don't need you to bleed. We already got the blood we need. We don't need to put a crown of thorns on your head. We already got that done. All he's telling you to do is in wherever you are, just be selfless. Die to yourself. Get over yourself. Self is what self got you what you got right now. How this working out for you? Right? Can we be real? Can we be real? All of us want another level, right? All right, but another level starts with a deeper devotion. Y'all got that one? Another level starts with a deeper devotion. It's so funny how God works, but he used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God said, you want to go higher, get deeper. And so you get deeper when you get over yourself. It's a marvelous revelation to study with. That I don't study for a selfish revelation. I don't even study to try to get a good message so that y'all think I'm a good preacher. Preachers do that all the time, don't they? Well, I'm gonna study because I want a good message. Cause I don't want to let the people down. I don't want people to think I'm not anointed. I don't care about that. All that matters to me is that God loves me. God loves me, and so the fact that I really know that God loves me, I love Him back. So now I'm going to these scriptures because I love Him. I'm not reading these scriptures because I'm trying to be saved from hell, or I want something to happen in my life, or all these self-centered things that we read scriptures for. Nope. I'm reading these scriptures because I love Him. I'm loving Him back. He deserves me to love Him back. He deserves me to show up and leave myself at the door. At the least, that's what he deserves. It's the most reasonable service that the Bible talk about. And so now, this is a good one. I'm glad we did. Just break yourself down. Break yourself down when you're going to study tomorrow. Now you're going to go back. You're going to try to do it the normal way because you've been doing it like that for so long. Right? We've been studying trying to get the revelation. Lord, what you telling me? We've been doing like that for so long. I understand. Catch yourself. Hold on. Hold on. Just God, what are you saying? Can I be involved? You want to ask something? You want to ask a good question? Oh, you want to ask a good question that'll really ring God's bell? You want to ask a question that really will open up the floodgates and God really start telling you all kind of stuff? Hey, God, what you saying? Can I be involved? Can I be in on the conversation? God, what you saying? Do you mind if I listen? So you approach God in a certain way. Can't approach God bigoty. Listen, I said it last time. I already know you're a raw priesthood. I already know that. But you ain't got to act like that. I'm around here. I know who I am in this ministry. But I ain't got to walk in and handling people bad and talking all kind of ways. And so now the meekness and the humility lets people want to do things for you. And they want to be around you. And you make God want. He already does it already. But you just encourage Him. You know what? I'm a do her better than the rest of them. Because her heart is tender. She got a heart after me. She's not really worrying about all this other stuff, having ministry and all this stuff like that. She just want me. Apostle said this. Apostle said this. He said, God called me to be an apostle. I wasn't asking for that. But God chose him because he chose God. I wasn't serving God so I can get some. I wasn't serving God for a big ministry. I was serving God. It don't matter what capacity. I was just going to serve. What if I tell you ain't going to never be no preacher that's going to stand on the pulpit in front of nobody? How your study time going to be? Blessing.